Good morning, everyone. Though, as we say, the virtual isn't the same as actually being together physically, obviously, yet we're so grateful at this time for the means to be able to meet as we can. And we're so grateful, too, for all those among us who serve faithfully and give of their time so generously, and in some cases, through many, many hours every week to bring this about. So we want to say thank you, a big thank you to you all. My text today is Psalm 63:1, and this psalm is entitled A Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And it's just this one verse. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have entitled this today The Wellspring of Life That Comes from Knowing My God. The wellspring of life that comes from knowing my God. For I believe there is a secret within this very verse, a secret that reveals a wellspring of life that comes from God to us in knowing him. David is speaking in context of a dry and weary land, and this could well have been inspired by this time as he was in the wilderness right here. David had learned from the early days with his God as he cared for the sheep how to tap into or how to plug into God's wellspring of life that was available to him, and then find through that a restoring, a refreshing, and a revitalizing again in his walk with God. We know that in his early life, he certainly knew and experienced this, and in his life generally, we knew he experienced the reality and blessing and power of this wellspring, as he wrote in another psalm, How precious is your loving kindness, O God! And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is a fountain of life. With you is a fountain of life. That's this wellspring of life. I mentioned that there was a secret here to receiving or to tapping into this wellspring of life. And I believe that's in this first statement here with David. O God, you are my God. He is here freshly owning a personal conviction of his God, my God, as he comes before him. He could have simply said, O God, I seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs and yearns for you. And in one sense, this would be true. But we could have perceived this as a generating principle. O God, I'm seeking you. I'm thirsting and yearning for you. It's about me coming to you. It's about me seeking you. But no, he makes this clear, firm confession before his God, saying firstly, O God, you are my God. Something was happening right there in his union with God as he came to him. Something was happening right there in the firm knowledge of the blessing that's in his God with him. My God. Something was happening right there as he freshly owned this personal conviction of his God, the one he had seen in the sanctuary, looking upon his power and his glory. This God is my God. My personal God, in whom is a wellspring of life as I come to him, and who in this wellspring restores me, refreshes me, revitalizes me in the dry and weary land, and causes me to rise to freshly seek you, and to thirst, and to yearn for you. This was no self-generating principle going on in him. It wasn't a conviction of faith being produced within himself or of himself, no. But rather he was standing in the very thing he knew, the very thing that was precious to him in knowing my God. Knowing also as he did so the power and reality of the wellspring of God to him in this, and that became in him a catalyst, a trigger, a springboard in this wellspring to a restoring and a refreshing and a revitalizing, and one that caused and brought about in him a new and fresh desire for God, this one desire that caused him again to seek, thirst, yearn after him. So out from the fresh owning of his conviction, O God, you are my God. They're open for him right there, the joy and power of the wellspring of life in his God that caused a fresh desire that burst forth in his heart to seek, thirst, yearn for his God. So for us, I use this phrase advisedly, owning a fresh personal conviction of my God as one that must be seen only in the context of our response to God. My God in all that he is to us, and in that response as one of standing in the true and real knowledge that we have of our God, and therefore never one where this conviction of faith is in any way something that's self-generated or anything that's produced in and of us. Yet, a fresh owning of our personal conviction of my God is our right response as we come to him. For he has and always is to us a wellspring of life. His goodness is always pouring out upon us and within us. Paul speaks of this very thing that he's done for us in our salvation and God's heart towards us in this as he continually pours out his goodness upon us. He says this, "But when the kindness of God our Saviour and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly." In our salvation, God has poured out the precious Holy Spirit upon us richly. But not only has the Holy Spirit been poured out upon us, but the Holy Spirit himself has poured out God's love within our hearts. Paul says again, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us, and the Holy Spirit himself has poured out the love of God within our hearts. And further still, Paul tells us that God has lavished his grace upon us. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. This grace, he goes on to say later, as he's raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenlies, God desires right there to show us continually, to prove to us the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He has lavished the surpassing riches of his grace upon us. That grace which John refers to in his gospel as grace upon grace, grace upon grace. Such goodness, that continual flow from the heart of God to us, and is a constant wellspring of life to us at all times. But here I want to show further what I mean in a right way, that of owning a personal conviction of my God. For I said earlier of our owning a fresh personal conviction of my God that is a response to God and is one of standing in the true and real knowledge that we have in God. Again, Paul can help us here, for he speaks of standing in our conviction that we have in God. He says, first of all, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted him. Firstly, he says, it's the Lord who guards us in him, in the truth. So then what he goes on to say clearly then after that is a response to what God is already doing. So he goes on and says, now you guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. So in response to his guarding and to the Spirit within us, aiding us, helping us here, we're to guard the treasure within. He also then goes on to say, however, continue in the things which you've learned and become convinced of. Continue, in other words, in what we know to be true in my God. This is the way that we're talking about owning our personal conviction of my God as we stand in this conviction which we have in God. It's a guarding the treasure within. It's continuing in what we know to be true in him. And then one last instance will suffice here, where Paul speaks in Colossians of holding fast to the head, by which the body grows with a growth which comes from God. Holding fast to the head, to my God. And that's what it means rightly, to come and own a personal conviction before God. It means standing in that which we know, standing as we guard the treasure within, as we continue in what we've learned and what we know of him, and we hold fast to the head, to my God. So then, our owning a personal conviction of my God is, as we have seen, a response to God in light of his great goodness that continually flows from his heart to us and is a constant wellspringing of life to us at all times. But also it's, as we've seen here, a standing then in our God as we guard the treasure within, continuing what we know to be true, and as we hold fast to my God. Now, it's in this context of the wellspring of life constantly available and flowing actively toward us in Christ that we come freshly owning then a personal conviction in my God, to find a restoring, a refreshing, and a revitalizing in him. I want to look then at three ways God restores, refreshes, revitalizes us in his wellspring of life, as we see then that in his wellspring of life, he leads us to a fresh encounter with him, a fresh experience in him, and a fresh enjoying of him. So firstly, in his wellspring of life, he leads us to a fresh encounter with him. It was through a fresh encounter with his God that Elijah was restored, refreshed, and revitalized to then move on to the next phase that God had had for him. As we know, he was running away from what had happened after he called fire down on the altar, and then suddenly Jezebel threatened his life strongly. And yet God was with him and was leading him, drawing him up to the place where he would meet with him and be present with him to reveal his restorative presence to him. Here God sees Elijah, knows him, is seeking him out. He knows he needs rest, fresh sustenance, time to recover, but he is waiting as he cares and protects him in the cave. And then at the right time, the Lord said to him, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." These are interesting words here for Elijah, for he had proved God over many years and referred to him as the Lord, the God of Israel, before whom I stand. That was his constant testimony and confession. God knew that he had learned to stand before him, to fellowship with him, and here he was calling him again to come, stand before me. He knew his God and owned a personal conviction of his God, and the passion for the true living God was strongly evident as he stood before Israel, declaring that the God who answers by fire, he's God. As he prays over the altar, he calls upon the Lord, saying, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. And I have done these things at your word." He had a personal conviction of his God. Oh, here was the expectation then of the presence of God, the very presence that will restore him, refresh him, and lift him up again. Feel the sense of anticipation, as it says immediately, "And behold, the Lord was passing by." What words? Note the word "behold," for it often precedes the coming nearness of God to bless and bring a fresh encounter with him that will be a life-changing encounter. Oh, behold the Lord. Behold awakens the heart in anticipation and expectation of an encounter with heaven, an encounter with God himself, who lifts us up from the mundane and ordinary to the greatness of the blessing of his presence, to the greatness of the blessing of the wellspring of life that's in him. Oh, behold the Lord. Oh, for a fresh encounter with him. Behold then means look up with astonishment and awe at what the Lord is about to do. Beloved, this is true of us as we have come to Jesus, for he has brought us into a life-changing encounter with him through Jesus. For Jesus testifies of what happens when we come to him. And he says this, "He who comes to me, he who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life." He's saying that when we are drawn to him, when we come to him first, we behold him and we believe him and have eternal life. In other words, the Spirit is working within us. The Spirit comes to us and draws the eyes of our hearts up to Jesus, to behold Jesus, and we're enabled to behold and to believe and to have life. Jesus bids us now, today, to behold him, to look upon him with anticipation and expectation, not then just as we came to him on the first day and looked up and believed, but today, right where we are, behold him afresh with anticipation and expectation for a fresh life-changing encounter with him. Oh, that we would long for more of him. So back to the story in hand. So God had promised, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. To be called to stand before him clearly assumes that God will be present with him. Stand before me assumes his presence. As God directs our hearts, beloved, to stand before him in these days, we can never turn to him. We can never ever come to pray to him. We can never even just glance and look up to him without him being right there with us, no matter how we're feeling. Beyond the feelings, our God is always very present with us and desires to draw us into a fresh encounter with him, one that will restore us, refresh us, revitalize us in him. I say beyond the feelings, beloved, for all that I'm saying today of owning a conviction of my God, it doesn't always come with feelings. For we go through many ups and downs, just like Elijah. But just to be able to turn to him, however we are, wherever we are, whatever our feelings or not, to be able to stand and turn to him in truth and say, oh God, you are my God, is the place where he releases the blessing and joy of the wellspring of life that ever flows toward us in him. So such anticipation and expectation would have been awakened in Elijah as it said, behold, the Lord passing by. So as Elijah waited for him, he wasn't, as we know, in the wind or the earthquake or even the fire. But then a sound of a gentle blowing. As we saw before, apart from the Lord asking Elijah again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then giving him eventually new instructions for the next phase of his ministry. It isn't wholly clear whether God specifically said anything else, but rather it was the beauty and the sweetness of his presence that restored Elijah. I say beauty and sweetness, for such I believe is hinted at with the words here. There are three words that we have. And one means sound or voice. The second word means whisper. And the third word means thin, small, or fine. The King James translates it a still, small voice. The NASB translates it, as I read there, a sound of a gentle blowing. Others translate it sound of a low whisper, or gentle whisper, or soft whisper. It's here in the quietness of our hearts that he speaks with us. He ministers deep into our conviction, into our faith. He communicates with the inner convictions of our hearts. It's right there where he whispers his assurance and his love for us. It may not necessarily be in words sometimes, but in a clear sense of communicating who he is to us and that he is with us and that all is well. He speaks, he whispers into the deep conviction of our hearts, into our faith, and brings us through in assurance with him. The gentleness and tenderness which is shown here with God's presence is in keeping with his very nature, which is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. And I believe it is indeed the beauty and sweetness of God's presence which reveals his gentleness, grace and love that pours out again over our soul and brings our soul into rest. Jesus promises, he says, come to me, I will give you rest. Beloved, it's only his rest that truly restores our soul. And he comes again to us to draw us to himself, to a fresh encounter of his presence today, just to find rest in his presence that will restore, refresh, and revitalize us. He knows our weakness and our frame, and he comes with the sound of a gentle whisper. For just as here with Elijah, God saw him and knew him and came lovingly after him, he pursued him through the wilderness, providing sustenance for him, providing the cave for safe stay for a while. So then he called him out to himself, and he ministered to him there through the sound of a gentle whisper. We can say then that before we knew God, it was God who knew us and saw us from afar off. And he sought us out in his love. He called us personally by name. He called us to himself and made us his. Beloved, now we belong to him. And yet even so, he understands our weakness and our frame. He sees us and knows us. And he seeks after us today in his love and calls us to himself to come and have a fresh encounter with him, just to encounter the sweetness of his presence, to be restored, refreshed, revitalized in him. Just as David freshly owned a personal conviction in my God that caused him to receive of the wellspring of life, so also in another place when he expressed his conviction as my shepherd. He knew that the place of fresh encounter is in the place of rest in his God. His shepherd provides that in a place of green pastures. David confessed that he was making him lie down in the rest of his green pastures. The very freshness of life that God was sharing with him was the restful environment of the green pastures and the refreshing waters of the stream around him. The blessing, beloved, of a fresh encounter with our God is that which brings us into his rest, and he restores us right there. Just as David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. So with us, the place of fresh conviction in my God is a place of fresh encounter with him in the wellspring of life, bringing us into a place of his rest, in the rest and sweetness of his presence. So in his wellspring of life, he leads us then, as we say, to a fresh encounter with him, but he also leads us in a fresh experience in him. David says here, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. It's only the water of life that God provides that can satisfy and bring that refreshing, restoring and revitalizing. It's only the life of God. And Jesus speaks of the water of life as of the Spirit. He who believes in me, as the Spirit scriptures say, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit. These living waters then are of the Spirit that flow freely within us. From his innermost being, Jesus says, will flow rivers of living water. And Jesus declared to the woman at the well, the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So within us, Jesus has promised of the Spirit, by the Spirit who is in us, that flowing of the living water, rivers of living water from within, and the well of water springing up. Jesus promised of the Spirit that he abides with you and will be in you, and he will be with you forever. So, beloved, internally, we have this wellspring of life in Christ by the Spirit always welling up within us. That supply never leaves us, because the source of this life, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us and is with us forever. Beloved, he is our constant daily supply. We saw earlier too that the Spirit has been poured out upon us. As Paul says, the Holy Spirit whom he poured out upon us richly. I remember the time we went as a family to Florida's Disney Resort. And in the water park there, there was a river running through it, which I think is called Lazy River. And you sit on an inflatable ring and slowly coast or meander down. and around in the gentle flowing waters, occasionally bumping into one another, or gently bouncing off one another, to be more exact, as the water carries you around, twisting and turning you, but always very leisurely and relaxed, hence Lazy River. That was always suitable for me because I couldn't go on the huge drop of, say, Summit Plummet. That was left to the children to experience. But along this river, there were bridges that were built over for the people to walk over as they walked around the park. And as you flowed along casually along the river and came up to the entrance of these bridges that were built over, there was a fast-flowing cold water rushing down over you like a strong flowing waterfall that cascaded over you as you went through, just as you entered the tunnel through under those bridges. This fast cold water flooding over you. Well, I loved this because in the strong heat of the day, and we went in August, so the sun was particularly hot, this water for a couple of seconds or so was a welcome, refreshing experience. So it is with us in God. As we come to him, as we look up to him, so not only is there a wellspring of life welling up within, but he causes the water of his life to gently shower upon us, refreshing, restoring, and revitalizing us in him. We choose to make a fresh decision to come under the waterfall of his blessing and be filled again with the spirit of life. Just as Paul directs us lovingly to be filled with the Spirit. The verb is in the present imperative, be constantly being filled with the Spirit, receiving and living in the vital and necessary life that God alone supplies in order to refresh, to restore and revitalize us in our walk with him. So in his wellspring of life, he leads us to a fresh encounter with him, to a fresh experience in him, but also to a fresh enjoying of him. David proclaims in this psalm, "Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness." David says he sees him in the sanctuary, his power and his glory, and he tastes of that loving kindness that's better than life, and it lifts him up and he says, "Oh Lord, as you help me to enjoy you, my soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. Oh, to see you, Lord, to enjoy you in all your power and glory, to enjoy your love, which is better than life itself, that I will be satisfied in the depth and greatness of your goodness, which is continually pouring out of your heart for us, for me." God expresses himself through the context of the physical. We looked at that last week. So, for instance, he directs us to seek his face. David says, when you said, "Lord, seek my face, my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.'" The Lord leads us gently with his hand upon us, or walking with him, he holds our hands. So in both, Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place." David then also explains that those who trust in the Lord, when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. He speaks to us in our relationship within him, in our understanding of receiving from him. He speaks from a physical context with physical imagery. But even more now, he speaks to our partaking of him, our spiritual sustenance in him, analogous to our physical sustenance. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He is the living bread. He's the true food and the true drink. So Jesus speaks of our spiritual sustenance being found in him, that we will find our full satisfying in him as we partake of his life that is in him. Beloved, we're called to feast with him as we walk in fellowship with him. Oh, to be satisfied then in the sweetness of his presence. Just like Elijah was hurting, exhausted, dry and weary and depressed, so he found the gentleness of his presence with him, restoring him and raising him up to go on. In Zephaniah, it speaks of God's ways with his people, and it says this: he will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Couples that have been married for many years and know each other well can often sit together and enjoy one another's presence without speaking. For they know each other's thoughts and responses so well that they are totally at home and at peace together in their knowledge of each other. And so it says of the Lord here, he exults over us with joy, but he will be quiet in his love. He draws us into that stillness and the quietness of his restorative presence, just to know the rest that is in him. Oh, to be satisfied then, not only in the sweetness of his presence, but satisfied in the richness of his goodness. The Bible encourages us to, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's saying, taste, come and enjoy. Come and partake of my goodness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And Peter talked about if we have tasted of his kindness. The Lord is drawing us here to our spiritual sustenance, to be filled with him, with his life, and to taste and see, to enjoy, to be filled with that sense of his goodness, that knowledge of his goodness and his kindness to us. Oh, that we will be satisfied in the sweetness of his presence, satisfied in the richness of his goodness, but satisfied in the abundance of his love. Again, we read earlier on, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. The children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house. You give them to drink of the river of your delights. There is a feasting upon the goodness of the Lord and a satisfying that comes from knowing my God. As we come afresh, owning that personal conviction, O God, you are my God. So we see then that in his wellspring of life, he leads us to a fresh encounter with him, a fresh experience in him, and a fresh enjoying of him. At the beginning, I said that David, as he freshly owned a personal conviction of my God, he was standing in the very thing he knew, the very thing that was precious to him in knowing my God. Knowing also, as he did so, the power and reality of the wellspring of God in him, in this, that the wellspring became in him a catalyst, a trigger, a springboard, not only to a restoring, refreshing and revitalizing, but one that caused and brought about in him a fresh desire for his God. That one desire that burned within him and caused him again to seek, thirst and yearn after him. Beloved, fresh life comes from Jesus, and our conviction in him, owning a fresh conviction of him, my God, as we come, is the very place of receiving this life flow, the wellspring of life that's in him. And that wellspring becomes in us a catalyst, a trigger, a springboard that not only restores, refreshes and revitalizes us, but becomes in us a catalyst, trigger and a springboard that ignites a flame of passion, of love for him, that ignites a flame of fresh desire, the one desire that causes us to freshly seek him, thirst after him and yearn for him. In that wonderful hymn, "Here is love vast as the ocean," we have these words: through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. Of thy fullness thou art pouring thy great love and power on me, without measure, full and boundless, drawing out my heart to thee. Beloved, that's it. This fullness of his pouring his great love and power over us without measure, full and boundless. And it draws out my heart to long, to seek, to yearn for him. So as we come to him in the light of his goodness being poured out upon us, owning a personal conviction of my God, we meet with him in this wellspring of life, that wellspring of life that becomes in us that catalyst, trigger, springboard that ignites that flame of passion of love for him, a flame of desire for him, that one desire that causes us to freshly seek him, thirst and yearn for him. Father, we just thank you that we belong to you. Father, we thank you that once we were far away from you, and yet you knew us and you saw us from afar. You sought after us. You came after us in Christ. And you sought us out in your love. And you called us by name, personally. And you called us to yourself and made us yours. Father, thank you for that wonderful truth, Lord, that your goodness is pouring over our lives. Father, thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit who's been poured out upon us richly, and that he has poured out your love within our hearts deeply. And you have poured out, Lord, you have lavished upon us the surpassing riches of your grace. What a wonderful gospel. What a wonderful God. Father, thank you for that wellspring of life that refreshes and that restores and that revitalizes. Father, draw us today, Lord. Draw us in these days. Draw us to that fresh encounter, fresh experience, and fresh enjoyment of you. Lift us higher, Lord. Let the power of that wellspring of life and the joy and reality of that life fill our beings, fill our hearts as we walk afresh with you. That, Lord, you, by through your power and by your power in this day, by your Spirit, we will be effective in reaching others for you. That those who don't know you, those who are yet to come to you, Father, help us to reach out in that life, that life will overflow, not just flow from your hearts into our lives, but flow out again to reach those who are yet to know you. Come, Lord, in our day. Use us as we are. Use us where we are for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.